among decision makers and power brokers. And yet, they, you know, the big focus that they have is, okay, well, let's see how we can make some money off of this. So one of the issues that we have with, for example, the push to divest from fossil fuels is that if it's too focused on fossil fuels, then all of that money that was invested in fossil fuels is going to be diverted into other so-called renewable fuels, many of which are as destructive or even more so than fossil fuels. So, for example, bioenergy, both biomass tree plantations, monoculture tree plantations, or GMO crops like corn and soy, or palm oil plantations, all of these are driving huge deforestation around the planet and kicking indigenous peoples and local communities off of their lands, and putting out huge amounts of carbon into the atmosphere, especially in Indonesia, where primeval peat forests are burned in order to put in these palm oil plantations for biodiesel. So, you know, there's all of these false solutions out there that are being promoted because they will make some companies a lot of money. And they sound nice, right? So we're going to have these all of these wonderful renewable fuels, even though these renewable fuels are actually further driving the problem and not producing any solutions at all.
Yeah, the greenwashing itself has become a major industry. The churning out of one article after another about the all the glorious benefits of things like natural gas. There's a campaign which we are treated to on a regular basis if we stumble across a National Public Radio affiliate here. One might well encounter an ad which says, think about it. And I have thought about it. I don't like it one little bit. No, not at all. We have biomass facilities here in the Pacific Northwest as well. There's pretty much no area, though, of life on Earth that is not touched. We mentioned some of the corporations, Monsanto, feeding the world may not be feeding the world. We have to think what happens to the waste, what other associated problems if we have limitless growth, rather than investing in the quality of life, not the quantity. That, to me, might be one way of addressing the problem. But right now, feet on the ground where we stand, the Global Justice Ecology Project is more targeted directly towards what can be done. Just before we go to our next break, can you talk a little bit about direct action and some of the types of resistance, the actions that people across the world, indigenous people, have resorted to now as we really approach total collapse?
Sure. Yeah. Direct action is one of the things that we believe at DGEP is really important to start moving toward as we deal with the climate crisis, thinking about real solutions, what we can really be doing to change the way that we live on this planet, the way that we live with this planet, looking to peoples and cultures that already live in a very sustainable manner, but also taking action directly to the people who are causing the destruction. So Flood Wall Street, for example, which happened one day after the People's Climate March in New York City, where a few thousand people went straight to Wall Street and occupied Wall Street and said, you know, we no more business as usual. We will not allow you to have business as usual as long as you're profiting from climate change. And I think that's the kind of thing that we'll be seeing more of as people start to understand the real severity of this problem.
The severity of the problem. We have a problem here at KABU. We need to keep the station running. And it's business as usual. This is business as unusual.
It doesn't get any more unusual than that. Thanks, Chris. My name is Justin. I'm joined by Pear. And it is the first day of KABU's fall membership drive, Business as Unusual. And we're doing special programming today, Turning the Tide on Climate Change. We have an extended Air Cascadia. We're asking you to show your support. Chris Andres, a tireless volunteer, produces new news segment, news and opinion segment every day. It's it's very valuable bringing in guests here, and it's all part of this master plan to educate, empower, enlighten, enthuse, and indeed enrage. And we need to keep the lights on in order to serve the community and fulfill our charter. To that end, we're asking you to get involved and start a monthly donation. The amount is up to you. Maybe you could give 1 hour's wages each month, but we're asking you to consider spreading your gift out into 12 payments. We will set it up securely for you. You can do that with a credit card or a debit card, as well as a check. All you have to do is give us a call, 877-500-5266. Of course, you can always do that online at kboo.fm. But this is also direct action to make sure that news and information is going out to the community. We'll try and save the world with your help.
Or you can come on down to 20 Southeast 8th. Come on down and see us. You can see where your money is going. And we have volunteers who can set you up an electronic funds transfer. And you can just become part of KBOO. You become a member. You can learn all about doing radio. You can come on down. You can take classes. You can certainly vote for the board of directors. And you can even run for the board of directors. You can serve on committees that help us put this station on the air. A lot of important work that's done by these committees, and it's all people like you who are on that. This is your radio station, folks, and let's keep it that way. It's not somebody else's. It doesn't belong to any NGO or anything like that. It is yours, but we have to keep it.
877-500-5266. Perhaps you could give $88 a year. That would pay for 1 hour of KBOO. Maybe if everyone who was in the sound of our voice, which is thousands and thousands of people, could pledge $88 a year. Let's see. Let's do the little math on that. $90 would be 25 cents a day. 25 cents a day, that's $1.73 a week. And that's going to not set you back too much. But whatever it is, it's right for you, is right for us. $2,150 a day is how much it costs to service your community radio station. So when we ask you for 25 cents, we're really not trying to break your bank. We're trying to get you involved. If you can give at $75 or more, a tree will be planted in your honor by Friends of Trees. So that's another way you'd be taking direct action. Why don't you call us up and introduce yourself? 877-500-5266. If the numbers hold, and they usually do, about 9 of every 10 haven't made that call. So this would be a great time to start that monthly donation, that electronic funds transfer. We can do it with credit and debit cards as well. You call us up. You tell us what you'd like to give. You make it possible for so many thousands of volunteers to receive training, but more like tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, indeed at this point probably millions of people, to have their lives enriched and affected by the signal that is coming out through KBOO. You can do that at kboo.fm. You can certainly call us toll free, 877-500-KBOO.
Do it now. The electronic funds transfer is so easy. It's just a little bit out of your checking account or debit or credit card every month. $5 a month is an easy thing to do, but it adds up. It adds up to $60 a year. And that's why we like to keep it that way, because it's easy on you and it helps us plan our budget for the year.
That's right. It's 16 cents a day.
Oh,
let's keep this
easy.
In perspective.
That's 16
cents out of more than $2,000.
Wow.
Could you do that right now? What's
sure
that phone
can.
Number?
877-500-5266 or anywhere else in the world, kboo.fm. Do it now.
And while we get ready to hand it back to Chris Entre, I want to thank Ted in Southwest for renewing his membership. Anna in Milwaukee has renewed, and Doug in Sandy has renewed. Thank you so much. We rely on our renewing members. Let's hear from three new members. That would be great to have three new calls and make sure that we're adding names to the roster here. You can do that by calling 877-500-5266 or come on down, get a tour. We'll show you around 20 Southeast 8th Avenue or online at kboo.fm.
And we're back with Ann Peterman, Executive Director of the Global Justice Ecology Project, one of the key players in the effort to do whatever is necessary, whatever we can, whatever needs to be done to stop further degradation of the climate that we depend on for life. This is life on Earth that we are talking about. This isn't ending a particular war. This is the finish line. And activism. Anne, can you talk a little bit more about activism and the different forms that it needs to take in this day and age in order to be effective?
Well, I think activism, the great thing about being an ecologist is understanding that in diversity is strength. So in an ecosystem, the more diverse that ecosystem is, the more resilient it is, the more that it can withstand extreme stresses and so on. And I believe that our movement, especially on climate change and human rights and for the environment, is the same. So the more diverse our movement is, the more that we embrace a whole array of tactics and ideas and solutions, I think the stronger we will be. And so, I really feel like it takes all tools in the toolbox to figure this thing out. And so I don't promote one thing over another, but rather let's figure out how we can work together and complement each other's actions and strengthen them.
And we're talking too about tailoring direct action to the particular target, whatever the issue, whatever the concern is, be it forest or pipelines, then everything. And again, people need to have to be. People aren't going to take action unless they feel that it's having an effect, that it's appropriate, that it's something that they can do with a sense of belief in the mission, because climate change affects so many aspects. This is life on Earth. How do you go about communicating that to people? How do you motivate people to take action, to do what they can to stop this before it becomes what it is? Unstoppable now, I think. I'm not sure exactly where we stand on that, but how do you go about inspiring people?
Well, I just pointing out that movements before have done the impossible. Movement after movement in history has done the impossible. And in the United States in particular, we have many, many stories of success. I mentioned the Vietnam War movement earlier, the civil rights movement, the suffrage movement, the workers' rights movement at the end of the last century that, won the 8-hour workday. I mean, over and over again, people have come together and achieved the impossible. And yes, this is probably the biggest challenge we've ever had as a species dealing with climate change. And it's such a global issue that we really do need to cross borders in our activism. So yes, it's a huge challenge. But I really do believe that as we understand the interconnections, as we understand the stakes, that people can make a real difference just by looking at, what are the real solutions and how can we implement those and how can we support other people who are doing the same thing.
So in the last minute and a half that we have, I'm so happy. I want to thank you very, very much for joining us. My usual program is very short, it's 15 minutes, and I'm glad to have the extra time to hear the voice of the Global Justice Ecology Project, because we have to think of this. If we're going to do anything about the problem, we have to think of it now in global terms. It is, yes, it is local. We do have local actions, but when we do engage in direct action locally, we are united with people all across the world. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about before we let you go about the Green Shark Doctrine and what people need to understand about that?
Well, if people want a more detailed analysis of all of these issues we've been talking about, they can download the Green Shock Doctrine. You can look it up online pretty easily. Just put in Green Shock Doctrine. It'll take you to our website where you can download the PDF. And there you'll learn a lot more about what social movements around the world have been talking about, what solutions they've been implementing, who's driving the real problems. And I think with that information, it helps to give people a basis to begin to act on these problems.
Thank you so much for that, and I'm so grateful for you for having you as a guest on the show today. We'll put links to all of these things that have been mentioned on the KBOO website. This has been Air Cascadia for October 1st, 2014, first day of full membership drive. Tammy Dean engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that. Tammy Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
And thank you, Chris. We're going to move on to further programming on Turning the Tide on Climate Change. It's our special day of programming here on KBOO Portland. We're happy to have you aboard. It's the first day of our pledge drive for the fall. And at 11 o'clock on the KBOO Bike Show, we're going to feature a journey of adventure and activism for women of Afghanistan. Also about how to find your bicycle when you have to escape for an emergency disaster, a natural disaster. At noon, we've got a Cop Apocalypse How with Francis Fox Piven and Arun Gupta. At 1 o'clock, Naomi Klein will be here in the studio live. At 2 p.m., Andrew Geller speaks with two guests about the collapse of Western civilization and also Don't Even Think About It, Why Our Brains Are Wired to Ignore Climate Change. And then Arun Gupta is back here at 3 to bring us up to 4 o'clock, a whole day of programming about climate change. We welcome you and hope that you'll become new members and renewing members out there in KBOO land. Right now, we're going to go to a discussion with between Kathleen Stevenson and Sharman Apt Russell, talking about her book, Diary of a Citizen Scientist.
This is Kathleen Stevenson for KBOO. I'm speaking with award-winning nature writer Sharman Apt Russell, whose new book is Diary of a Citizen Scientist, Chasing